Welcome back to Diary of a Reality Competition Podcast Contestant. I'm Joe Hood, in for Alex Albisu, in for Brian Ibbett, keeping all the seats warm while we get to know the contestants of Season 1 a little bit better. Today it's time to hear from Alex Albisu, and because he can't interview himself, I get to ask all the questions. Let's go! Today's show is a little bit different. Alex gets put on the other side of the microphone, and I get to ask him questions about his experience on America's Next Top Podcaster. One of the things we discuss about that experience is how Alex is a natural-born project director. He likes to coordinate and organize, and that had some pluses and minuses for him during the competition. We also talked about his ambitions and his plans for being a full-time podcaster and how he can live the dream. Finally, we talked about the power of connections for Alex, the connections he was able to make with his teammates, which I was fortunate to be a member of, the connections he made with the judges and with the crew of America's Next Top Podcaster, and the connections he made with the audience members when he was at the Morning Stream event in Vegas. It was an honor for me to have Alex ask me to do the interview of him, and I hope you enjoy my conversation with Alex Abudibu. I hope you enjoy my conversation with Alex Albisu. Alex, I am very excited to be able to interview you after you have been interviewing so many of our fellow contestants from America's Next Top Podcaster. How are you doing, Alex?
Oh, I'm great, Joe. This is weird. I'm like not in control right now. I'm feeling a little self-conscious. Like, just go easy on me. Help me along this process. Okay? This is weird.
Absolutely. Yes, I understand. You have this need to manage and control everything. Actually, I was discussing with someone our experience on a team, and I described you as a consummate project director, and you showed up that way many times. I don't know if that was your experience throughout the entire process on the show. Did you feel like that management and project directing was something that came naturally to you while you were there?
Yeah, you know, I think that for me, and this is just in life in general, and this is what has kind of turned into what I do for a living anyway. If I see that there is lack of ownership in a thing, whatever that thing is, I just try to jump right in and go for it. It's like, I try not to be the hero in the situation, certainly, but I try to, if somebody isn't stepping up to do the thing, I try to fill the gap and I try to get that thing done. So that's just, and not to say that there wasn't any ownership in our group within the podcasters. There was just a need for assertion that I saw, and I have an ability to collaborate and do all that in a way that is non-threatening. So I tried to step up in that regard. And you guys didn't seem to mind. I don't know. I'll ask you. Did you mind me stepping up into that?
No. I really appreciate structure and find when I'm working with teams, negotiating that structure early on helps really well. And I think we had a good job of keeping that structure, but also bouncing back and forth between ideas. And I don't think we were lucky enough to have no one feel like they were dominating and also move along smoothly.
Yeah, and that's so weird because I hate feeling like I'm dominating too. It's like, it's a weird thing, man. My brain is so screwed up. I think that if like, I feel uncomfortable saying like, oh, I am choosing, this is the path forward, because I still like to be like, hey, Joe, you cool with that though? Amy, you cool with that? Risha, you cool with that? And if not, then let's talk about it. And in some ways, it's almost counterintuitive to how a project director should be run. But I think that was the difference here. I think that in this sort of collaborative environment, we're all in it together to win it. So there has to be 110% commitment if we're going to make it through that week. Not to say that we didn't. So I would say that maybe early on in the competition, there was some uncertainty there. But once we started to find our groove with the podcasters, man, like we made some strides. Like Culinary Capers was great. We each had our thing that we did. We did it well. We were all bought in. But then like the movie thing. We weren't all bought into that week because, Rishi talked about it in his exit interview. I think that when you think about collaboration and working as a team in this creative capacity, you gotta be bought in. Everybody's gotta be in 110%.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the challenge with a newly formed team like we had can often be people holding their voice back to make sure things go smoothly. And I think throughout your time. Well, let's talk about going smoothly and going forward. You were one of the finalists. So you had the opportunity to be on the podcast years and then be on a new team in the middle. And then at the very end, shape your own team. So I'm curious how your experience across those different teams, and especially that last one where you had a week and a whole new group of people, how did that work out for people bringing their voices together and working together?
Yeah, it was an interesting experience. So what I loved about the Podcasteers was that we clicked. I can't even point out the moment, but there was like this snap and we were just like in sync and it was beautiful. We were all dancing to the same beat, to use a metaphor, maybe that's appropriate. I don't know. Anyway. So, but then, you know, I jumped over to the team with Brad and Gidget and love those guys to death, but it was a new way of doing things. Those two had worked together really closely for several weeks. And then I jump in and, you know, me being Mr. Organized in my own way, when I started learning that they kind of made those decisions at like the last second, oh my God, dude, my freaking like anxiety. I was like, oh no, like, oh, we're going to have to, what are you saying? We don't have a path forward 2 days ahead of when we're going to submit this thing. And, you know, we were churning out content in a matter of not even a week. It was like really 4 days of churning out content, which is insane. Like Jerry and I have talked about that a lot. Like that was an insane ask. So when you're entering into not only just a new group dynamic, but then also dealing with the uncertainty of what you're even going to submit 12 hours from submission time, like that created a lot of anxiety for me. But what it also helped me to do was to grow creatively and learn how to handle those situations in a collaborative environment. So I actually feel way better off. And I'm a big proponent of you got to do something. I don't like being comfortable. So do something uncomfortable. That was my uncomfortable. And it really helped me. So when you're talking about that last week in the top podcaster where it was me against Amy, you know, you went team Amy and I'm, you know, screw you.
She picked me first. I was the kid on the playground that got picked first for the kickball game. I'm sorry. I wasn't on the table when you had a chance to pick.
Listen, I don't regret it at all because I got Rishi. I said, whoever I knew that she was going to pick one of you guys. And I said, I got to pick the other one because we got to keep the Podcasteers together and I know how to work with them. And that was part of the strategy too, you know, just from a social game perspective. I wanted to work with somebody that I knew well and I worked with well. Mm-hmm. Now, the other people that were brought in, at least on my team, were, you had Jerry and you had Bridget. These were two individuals from two other teams that I've never worked with. But what I had in my disposal was the ability to collaborate with those individuals and was the ability to know how to collaborate with those individuals, I should say, because I had just got done working with a new team dynamic a couple weeks earlier. Mm-hmm. So I felt very empowered going into that final week. While I didn't win that final week, it was still met with high regard. I talked to people who, you know, certainly loved what we did, Film Firsts, and not to take anything away from Amy because she certainly deserves it. It felt good to hear that feedback because I knew that at that point I had grown, and that's really what I came here to do.
Oh, that's a great way to wrap that up. And let me ask you, talking about growth and growth throughout the process, how have you brought that growth forward? What are you doing now? Well, obviously you're doing this whole series of diaries, which is excellent. But besides this, what else are you doing now since the show has ended?
Oh man. A lot of it is just kind of how do I level up what I'm doing? So I came into this competition with a few key characteristics in mind with how I want to approach podcasting in general. One of those things was bringing value to the table. I'm a firm believer that if I am going to have somebody sit down, listen to a thing that could possibly be 30 minutes to an hour, they need to be very aware of what they're signing up for. So I came into this competition with that already in mind. And I tried to do that with the shows that I was already doing, especially the Dad Chronicle, where I'm sharing a lot of inspirational stories and helping dads overcome really hard situations. But what I learned to kind of take to that next level is, and you know, this is getting kind of tactical, but it's really being even more upfront about what we're going to talk about. If you go and listen to the Dad Chronicle a year ago, and then you listen to the Dad Chronicle as of, I don't know, 4 months ago, it's a very different show structure. Now I've gotten even more advanced with how I'm bringing in some blurbs and stuff that are really impactful or profound throughout the conversation into the front to kind of hook people and to kind of give them a preview of what's to come. And then even steering the conversations in ways, improving my interview style, which I've always really enjoyed that style of podcasting. That has really leveled up. But it's all because of not just the judges' feedback, not just because of Tom, but because of like working with people like you, Joe, working with others in this competition has helped me see a new perspective. And it's, again, it's leveled up my game.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, I know, and I don't know how public this is, but I know your ambition is to be Alex LB2 podcaster. Like, you want to level up even higher. And I'm wondering, with that question, like, where, well, and also I know you have a plan, you have a process. Can you share with us people, like, where's your ambition going, and what are you doing to level up, not just on mic, but in the practice of being a podcaster, that someone that hopefully can make their living doing this?
Yeah, I think that it's an interesting question, because, and you and I kind of spoke about this a little bit, I came to you saying, Joe, how do I approach this? You've been an entrepreneur for a while. And your response was, well, what are you doing? And I kind of laid out that I have been, you know, and I'll use Jury's terminology because I've been working with Jury a lot lately. And he's like, leverage the momentum. You're on this show. You have a persona now. You've got people who know who you are. Leverage that momentum and make something out of it. So what I've been doing is not just taking the lessons learned from this show. I am also taking the fact that I am a quote unquote known entity now, and I can leverage that that relationship that I now have with you, Joe, with Jerry, who I've had on the Dad Chronicle, with now Schwood, Scott Johnson, Brian Ibbett, Hammond. I'm having all these people on the Dad Chronicle to and which will help propel it to a more known entity in itself, so that I can garner the right networking and garner the right follower to build, you know, somewhat of a patronage that can support me and my creative efforts. And, you know, another thing that was really harped on, again, from Jury, who is really good at harping on things. and I say that all with all the love and respect in the world, because he's been a really great coach to me over the past several months. You know, what he said is, lean into your thing, lean into what you want to do. And for me, it's not just like, yeah, I want to be a podcaster, but I want to be known as, I'm a parent. This is a huge passion for me, is my daughter and the time I spend with her and building a family. And I want to share that experience with the world and help them learn with me in this regard, and even learn from the world around it and bring people along for that ride. So that is kind of, I'm leveraging all that to kind of build that into my brand, if you will. But it's also, it doesn't just stop there. I have aspirations to do more kind of beyond that, that would certainly leverage something like podcasting. But at the end of the day, and I'll say it again, I mean, value and bringing that back, people have to provide patronage for a reason. And I'm a big believer in providing my patrons something that that they would find valuable and want to pay me for. And hey, if that works out and I can do that for a living, dude, that's ideal. That's great. I love that idea.
Well, one of the things that it occurs to me, you've got to definitely have a step along that way in telling your stories from your experience in Vegas. And I might embarrass you a little bit by mentioning this, but you told me your experience of being there and people recognizing you or recognizing you when you spoke. Like, you've got that. You're definitely developing that brand. How was being able to go to the Morning Stream Vegas event after the show ended?
Oh man, it was such a blast. Okay, so first of all, just to like meet all these people that I have looked up to for years as a wannabe podcaster. Scott, I've said it on the show, but like Scott Johnson is the reason why I create podcasts. And to sit there and shake his hand and have a conversation with Kim, and like the fact that we were just hanging out in Vegas, and they were so approachable and easy to talk to about this desire and allowing me to geek out a little bit about, you know, about being with them. That was super cool. And obviously people like Brian Ibbett, like Jury, meeting Gidget in person, like all that was such a treat. Like it was just, it felt a little profound to me to be able to spend physical time with these people that I thought were quote unquote unreachable, you know? And it was funny because, you know, you talk about people coming up to you and being like, oh, wow, dude, you're Alex. Oh, that's funny. But that, what you don't realize is that that happened to Gidget way more often, because it was funny. Everybody was like, wait, an Australian accent? What? And like everybody heard this Australian voice, and they were like, oh my God, that's Gidget. And then she would also, like when that would happen, deflect, because she was super uncomfortable. It would be like, have you met Alex?
That's excellent.
But I mean, all kidding aside and joking aside, I mean, it was kind of funny to be in a situation where I'm like, these people know who I am. And I thought that that was, first of all, a treat, and it doesn't go to my head whatsoever. But it also helps me reaffirm that people hear me and understand that I guess I'm bringing value, and they enjoy that. So therefore, it helps me reaffirm what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would expect it. It is humbling to be recognized like that.
Oh, it's so cool. Yeah.
So I've been told that the way we wrap up here by someone. The way we wrap up our Diary of a Podcast Contestant is, I'm sorry, the way we wrap up our Diary of a Podcast
of a reality competition podcast contestant. It's okay.
Good Lord. Let me try a reality. The way we wrap up a Diary of a Reality Podcast Competition contestant.
Reality is competition podcast contestant, but that's okay. Go on. I've only done how many of these, Joe? It's fine.
The way we wrap up the show. Please, Lord, edit all of that out.
Oh, I am not editing any of this. Keep going.
The way we wrap the show is from your experience on America's Next Top Podcaster. What's something profound or surprising that you learned?
You know, it's funny. We just some quick behind the curtains on this is that you and I just recorded your interview. Your interview is going to come out way before people hear this one. And right. You literally took my answer. And I'm not going to take that as an excuse. I'll think of something else. But what you said was just the surprising nature of being working so well together.
Yes.
With the podcasteers. Like the fact that I'm, you know, I can genuinely call you guys friends is so cool. Like I left here with not just a ton of knowledge on how to level up my podcasting game, but man, like I really cherish the time that I was able to spend with really everybody in this competition, but especially you guys, because I think that we went through something really unique and interesting towards the beginning of this competition.
Yeah, but that was my answer. So
yeah, that was your yours. Answer. Sorry, my computer just went to sleep because I'm talking so much. But you know, I think if I wasn't to steal your answer, man, it would have to be, I'm surprised at how easy it was to make connections with all the people tied to this show that I've been looking up to for so long. And what I mean by that is, it kind of echoing what I mentioned about my time in Vegas, how wonderful this community is, you know, Diamond Club, Tadpole, all these people, and how open that they are to welcoming people. And that is a big mantra of mine in general with life. I am I will always welcome people into my circle as long as you're not a jerk. And you know, if I have no reason to think that you're a jerk, come on over. Here's a drink. Let's hang out. To see that similar mentality was brought here. God, man, like that. I feel like I met my people. Like it was good. Like this has just been that is what was so surprising to me.
Yeah, and I can echo that. I'm amazed day in and day out what a wonderful community we managed to slip into. And I guess with that, Alex, if people want to hear more of you and more from you, besides staying subscribed to this podcast, what can they do?
Oh, wow. Okay, I get to plug my stuff now, huh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You can follow me at Alex Albisu on all social media. My name is spelled A-L-E-X. My last name is spelled A-L-B as in boy, I-S as in Sam, U. I do a couple of podcasts. You can check out The Dad Chronicle, not plural, thedadchronicle.com. And you can listen to inspiring stories of fatherhood, various parenting advice from a guy who is new to it himself, bringing you along on this journey. So go check that out. You can find it on any of the podcatchers. And same thing with Joystick and Mouse. So you can go to joystickandmouse.com. And that's my video game podcast I do with my buddies Don and Tim. And it's a lot of fun. It's just a few guys sitting around who don't have time to play video games anymore, but are super passionate about video games and still love talking about the industry and everything along with it. Go check that out as well, joystickandmouse.com. Oh, and I guess, you know, like all that kind of lives at incastmedianetwork.com if you wanted to kind of see an overarching view of all the projects that I've done.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Alex, for coming on my show now. And by the way, this is my show now. I get to interview the rest of the people. Sorry, that's just the way it works.
Gosh, it's a good thing that this is like one of the last ones I've got and everything else done already. So that's good. Yeah, you can have it. Yeah. Joe, take it. Take it from here.
I get to interview Amy. That should be a hoot.
Not to say I already did it, but that's fine.
Oh, man.
Well, thanks for having me, Joe.
Thanks again to our guest, Alex Albisu. And a personal thanks to Alex for letting me do the interview today. Interviewing is something I enjoy doing, and he was kind enough to ask me to help out when he realized he couldn't interview himself. And it actually reminds me of the thing that Alex said that stood out to me in our conversation, is how wonderful the community here is. And it's not just the community as the audience, but the community of the podcasters and all the people making the shows as well. It's a great group of people, and I cherish, along with Alex, the opportunity to connect with all of them. And I'll add, since the show ended, I've been on the Discord for ANTP and for other shows, and it's been a great way to deepen my connection with people. And if you're not using the Discords yet, you should give it a try. Well, if you'd like to reach us, you can email toppodcaster@gmail.com. And this has been Joe Hood filling in for Alex Albisu, filling in for Brian Ibbett on America's Next Top Podcaster, the special Diary of a Reality Competition Podcasting Contestant segment. Nailed it. We'll see you guys next time.